Well, we're studying the Ten Commandments, which our Lord Jesus summarized into one notion of love. Love is not the feelings, and it's not the passions built on top of it. Jesus summarized the biblical notion that love is faithfulness to the obligations of any given relationship. God is faithful, He loves us, and we are to be faithful. We're unpacking His notion of love to get back to its constituent components, love for God and love for each other. And today we come to the fourth commandment. We're in Exodus chapter 20. We're looking at that passage, and we'll be going to verse 11 today. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. But he rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It starts off there with that word "remember," and that tells us something, because it doesn't say remember to keep the Sabbath holy. It says remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath is something they were to remember, because the Sabbath was in existence long before the Ten Commandments. A lot of people think the Sabbath was an idea invented by Moses or first revealed to Moses. Of course, that's not true. If you know anything about Israel's wandering in the wilderness and the manna, you know manna was given 6 days and then twice as much on the sixth day so that they could rest on the seventh day. They celebrated the Sabbath, obviously, right through that time. And Israel celebrated the Sabbath long before it appeared in the Ten Commandments. In fact, I'm sure you know that the roots of the Sabbath go all the way back to the very beginning. The very beginning. This is before sin entered the world. The Sabbath was there. There are lots of ways to interpret the chronology of Genesis 1 and 2, whether the earth is young or old. Man, I love to talk about that. But for the purposes of this commandment, we don't need to settle that point, because the point is that creation is revealed in terms of a week. And to commemorate that, God set apart the seventh day of our week as holy. And Israel was told to remember that. It didn't start then. That's the way it had been. And therefore, they were to treat it that way now. The word "holy" means, literally, set apart, consecrated to God, reserved for a use that involves God. 6 days of every week must be given to many things. The word "work" there, malaka, means, it means work, it means duty, it means deed, it means thing, it means something. It's a very, very general word. 6 days of every week have to be given to all the things of life that require our labor, especially since we've sinned. Requires our labor, not just our employment or our job, but all kinds of normal things. Employment, housework, shopping, studies for school, you name it. All the things we typically do and therefore absorb all of our attention and energy. It's supposed to do that. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, and we keep it holy because it's a Sabbath to the Lord. It's a time consecrated to Him when we choose to set apart our time for Him instead of all those other things. Not bad things. We don't just cut out bad things on the Sabbath. We shouldn't be doing bad things anytime, right? The fourth commandment is not about cutting out bad things. It's about cutting out good, regular things that absorb us and therefore get in the way of keeping the Sabbath holy. You know, the Sabbath is perhaps the only thing in Scripture that brings together the two big ideas of creation in Genesis, redemption all the way at the end of Revelation. I think it's the biggest idea in Scripture. It's huge because it involves both those things. The purpose of the Sabbath is the only difference between the Ten Commandments as listed in Exodus and Deuteronomy, because there's so much to cover. Take a look at that. In Exodus, the reason for the Sabbath has to do with creation. The way God ordered things to be in the beginning, before sin broke the Sabbath and plunged mankind into unending labor and oppression. But Deuteronomy relates the Sabbath to redemption, focusing on how God frees us from sin's oppression and begins to reinstate the original design in our lives again, to be perfected one day in paradise. Both of these things are in view. What God designed in the beginning, what God does, the same design he has for the end to reinstitute. The Sabbath represents both creation and redemption, giving a tremendous breadth and significance. Keeping the Sabbath holy is a positive command. Not doing any work is a corollary. It is implied because you can't do two things at once. You can't set apart time for God if we're still busy with a multitude of tasks that make up our normal work week. And so we must put aside other work. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You can't profit from a sermon. You can't participate in singing while you're texting in church. Nothing wrong with texting, but you just can't do two things at once. Mickey just texted me, and it really distracted me there. If you're listening, Mickey, remember, I get that on this machine too, okay? Look how seriously the fourth commandment takes this. You clear your schedule, so does your family, so do your servants, so do your animals, so do your guests. Time consecrated to God is holy. God does not want us to multitask on his Sabbath. He wants full attention. Do you remember the summary we looked at last week? We said that the first commandment instructs us to choose the biblical God over all alternatives. And we said that the second commandment instructs us to make sure that the biblical God we choose, those names are not just labels that we define as we wish. The content has to come from the Bible too. And these two commandments together, they summarize our discovery of God's name. And God's name is all that God has revealed himself to be. The first two commandments talk about learning who God is. The third commandment tells us to shape our lives around what we learn about God. Because knowing who God is and not responding to that is lifting up his name in vain. We're going to build on this today to finally see the entire schematic of the Ten Commandments. They are not a random list of rules at all. The first three commandments here are the very heart of the law. This is the dynamic of spiritual growth. We learn to love by living in God's name, shaping all of our relationships around God, his character, his will, and especially, of course, love is working out that name in those last six commandments, and that deals with our responsibilities to each other. These nine commandments realign us with God's original design and will, which is to be completely redone one day. They are what Christ meant when he commanded us to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. By applying God's name to our relationships as they are in this world, well, that doesn't happen automatically. Now, those of us who know Christ, we're going to approach this task out of gratitude. We don't have to do this as a duty in order to be justified before God. That wouldn't be a bad idea, except that we can't do it. We're broken. We are breaking the commandments. We don't keep them. And so God provided an entirely different way for us to be declared righteous by a gift, transferring our sin to Christ, his righteousness to us through faith. And so we do this out of gratitude, and we have the Holy Spirit now to help us. But God did all of that so that we could then become what he meant for us to be. He didn't do all that so we could remain sinners forever. He wants us to change, and as he changes our hearts, we want to change. It's a desire that we have. But it doesn't happen automatically. And that's why the 9 commandments were not enough. We need something as a catalyst to connect the first 3 commandments with the last 6. Something to help us draw God's name into our experience and apply it to our relationships. And the Sabbath is that catalyst. The 4th commandment practically connects the first 3 commandments with the last 6. Sabbath is a huge idea. I mean, before it was ever a day of the week, it described God's whole design for the world. We read day 1, evening and morning, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, evening and morning. No evening and morning for the Sabbath, for the 7th day. It was the inauguration of the reality as it was supposed to be, fully designed that we'd rest in forever. Sin broke the Sabbath. God went back to work to renew it. And Jesus is reinstituting the Sabbath concept, the Sabbath order in his people today, and it's going to be reestablished completely in eternity. That's what you see at the end of Revelation is the new Sabbath that goes on forever. But God instituted a weekly Sabbath as a way for us to reach back to his original intent, look forward to the new heaven and earth, and live in that as much as we can, taste it and see that he's good. The Sabbath is one of God's most thoughtful gifts to his people. One day of paid leave every week. Paid in the sense that the Lord promises we will not suffer to the extent that we take it properly. He'll make sure of that. A day with him. Not to be multitasked with other things. Things that demand our lives the other 6 days. That pursue our interests without him. A day to work on nothing else but opening our hearts to his love and imitating his love with others. When I break the 4th commandment, the whole design of the 10 commandments breaks down. The law is designed so that we rediscover God and then learn love as we build our lives around him. That design requires God's grace, requires the Holy Spirit. But in order to be effective, it also requires regular attention from us and sufficient time. When I lose my Sabbath, the whole process, the whole growth curve of learning love and growing in love breaks down. Now, of course, we experience stuff. We accumulate experience. We accumulate knowledge all week long. And I guess we just assume that growth will just naturally happen as we learn new stuff and experience stuff. But see, to a large extent, that's not true. We need to process what we learn. We need to process what we experience and make conscious, thoughtful decisions about how we're going to shape our lives because of it. Sabbaths give us the time we need to process what we learn. The Sabbaths that I use spike my spiritual progress. The Sabbaths that I ignore leave me at whatever stage I've been at since my last Sabbath. And for some Christians, that means that hardly any growth has happened between retreats, however long ago the last one was. God designed for us to have a retreat every week. I know this graph is overly simplistic, but I ask you to consider to what extent it might be true. Jesus was very clear about this. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not some duty that we do for God's benefit. It's a privilege. It's okay to do this. He's granted it to us for our benefit, but we only get that benefit when we use it. One of the reasons that we're so apathetic about the Sabbath is that we just don't understand that it's given for us. You know, most of the time when someone discusses the Sabbath with me, it's to ask one of several questions. Does the Bible specify one day of the week? Which day of the week? Does it all have to be on one day? What if my employer makes me work? What if my school or my club schedules activities on Sunday? What should I do things that depend on other people working on Sunday? Should I watch football? Should I play ball with my kids? Well, these are all practical questions that have to be answered. Maybe we can get some friendly discussion going in the online cafe and help each other work through them. And we're going to answer them differently. But there's a big, big danger in focusing on those questions. They assume that the Sabbath is about what we shouldn't do. Like the old Pharisees, we approach the Sabbath with a guilty spirit because we're afraid maybe we're doing something we shouldn't do. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Please, Christian, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. This next sentence, listen carefully. The Sabbath is not about not doing things. The Sabbath isn't about not doing things. The way to focus on the Sabbath is to focus on what we are doing, not what we're not doing. Now, both sides are obviously necessary, but the order in which we put them is important. I think it's crucial. Because you could avoid everything and still not keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't about not doing things. It's about purposefully reflecting on God, life, people, the earth, and loving better in every dimension. Because that's my business. That's my job as a human being. We don't keep the Sabbath by not doing things. We keep the Sabbath by working into our lives regular weekly time to rediscover and enjoy the Lord. Time. Popular evangelical thinking for some time has advocated daily devotions, a little Bible reading and prayer every day. It's a great practice, obviously. It's a great way to reconnect with God every day. It's good for you. But just remember something. God didn't command it. What God commanded was one day in seven. He commanded that. What's the difference? You can't disengage from your routine very well in 10 minutes. You can't chew on the truth in 10 minutes. You can't spend time talking with God about how to use what you've learned. You can't discuss with Him profound ideas about love in 10 minutes. You can't design a thoughtful change in your budget or in your schedule or weigh a ministry opportunity in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, you can't take what you learn about God and hold up all the precious relationships in your life and see how they can be enriched. Or spend some time in a ministry that's totally selfless and draw joy from it. Most of us can't do any of those things during the week. Some of you can. I think the Sabbath is somewhat flexible if you know what you're trying to accomplish. But most of us can't do most of that during the week at our job or taking care of our responsibilities at home. And God does not expect us to. He expects us to work 6 days a week. But one day, God tells us you can put all that aside. It's okay to remember who I am and who you are and get to know both a little better. Back to my point. If we understand all of that and we want to take the Sabbath seriously, none of it will happen if our focus is on what not to do. The Sabbath is about things we get to do. Want to explore in our faith, but we don't have the time. The Sabbath gives us time. Don't waste your Sabbath planning time worrying about what you won't do. When you plan a vacation, you don't spend all your time planning on what you won't be doing. First, you plan on the things you want to do. They're special. Then you figure out how to not do everything you normally do. You got to get time off, get somebody to walk the dog, get somebody to teach Sunday school for you, whatever. Those are real challenges. But you wouldn't be doing those challenges unless you first wanted to do something special. What good would it do for you to get time off, have a friend walk the dog, another friend take Sunday school, work all that out so you can spend a weekend vacation with nothing planned, leaving you looking for ways to kill time? You don't carve out time for a vacation just to kill it. That's not how you take the Sabbath either. First, you anticipate what you want to do. to worship God, reflect with God, and then you move other things out of the way. If a whole day seems impossibly long to you, I suggest starting with something small but real. Let's put our toe in the water if you're not used to this. I encourage you to carve, if you've never done this, if you've never really taken Sabbath, except for our wonderful worship time here, I encourage you to carve out half an hour. Half an hour of uninterrupted time with God. More is better, but start with half an hour. And don't worry about having to fill it up. Don't check your watch to see if you put in your time yet. When you feel done, you are done. Get up, do something else. But savor the luxury of talking with him for a while with nothing else on your plate. Since you're talking to the Almighty, you might begin by laying out every single thing that you're worried about. Because God doesn't want you worried about anything. He said so. So lay out everything you are worried about. Ask him to bring to mind anything you should do, and then consciously transfer each thing to his shoulders. He doesn't want you to worry. So do that. And then remember the real suffering of other people. Grieve with God for hurting people in this world. Ask him frankly, is there anything you can do to help? And if you have done something to help, ask God to use that. Think about a spiritual topic you've wanted to learn about for years and plan on asking somebody who can to help you, maybe give you a lead on where to begin. Make a note and do that in the coming week. Lift up every person who's special to you, whom you love dearly. See if there's anything you've learned recently about the Lord that gives you an idea of what you could do with them or what you could do for them that would love them. You might come up with 5 ideas in a given day. You know, a gift of a book, trip to a zoo to coordinate with a study of Genesis 1, a letter of thanks, a physical record of your thoughts that someone will keep for years to come. Coffee with a friend to discuss a possible new ministry idea. Commitment to pray for a particular thing this week, maybe 3 days, and you plan on which 3 days. You could reflect on all of the conflicts that are really hurting. Conflicts. You could spend time with nobody else listening, going over what you wish you had done differently. I like to get alone, by the way, and do this out loud, because it reminds me I'm talking to somebody. I'm not just meditating. What you regret. Talk to him about what you might do to own up to that and make things better. You do that. He will be so proud of you. And while you're at it, confess how you've been hurt by the sins of others. Be frank. And let God comfort you. He wants so much to comfort you if you'll just stay still long enough. You can't do all these things in half an hour, I know that. But that's okay, because there's another Sabbath coming next week. You might find yourself looking for some more time. The Sabbath is a great day for spending a couple of hours using your gifts to bless others. No standard way here, thousands of ways. Maybe doing something thoughtful that will tell one of your neighbors that you just love them. Sabbath is a great day for spending time with friends or potential friends who share your faith. Having good, clean fun. Discuss the latest sermon or something you've read. Let your friends pray for you. Pray for them. And it's perfectly okay to encourage other friends who wonder what this Christ thing is all about. The Sabbath is a fantastic day to enjoy the creation and just think about what it's going to be like when Christ returns. Enjoy the weather, enjoy animals, enjoy plants, enjoy yourself, your own body and mind that God made, doing things you love to do so you're just filled with gratitude for being alive. Enjoying your creation can be your creator can be a very physical thing or a very intellectual thing or a very musical thing. And of course, the Sabbath is for worshiping with God's people. Fill your lungs and sing with everything you've got. Pray with a bunch of people. You don't know them all, but you know that you all share Christ together. Listen to the word explained by people who devote their lives to explain it to you. And don't go to bed without thinking about what you've heard and evaluating it, rolling it over in your mind, asking God how you might apply it this week. Christian, isn't there anything there that you long to do, but you don't have the time? If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I know there are lots of reasons why we can't take a Sabbath, and some of them are pretty powerful. In practice, our Sabbaths will look different. For example, I have to work on Sunday. Okay? But if this is how God feels about it, I think he would help us if we wanted just to move in that direction. You may feel that the Sabbath is unnecessary, that a less radical alternative would be just as effective. But ask yourself, is your own spiritual life developing as you had hoped? Is an alternative system working for you? If so, then maybe you have found your own way of observing the Sabbath or managing without it. But if not, consider this. What if God himself told you it's okay to put everything else aside once a week, as much as it's possible? It's really okay. Whatever you lose, I'll make up. For everything you lose, I'll give you something better. I promise. My mouth has spoken it. What kind of person might you become if you took advantage of that every week? Twice a month? Your mission, should you decide to accept it. Plan next week's Sabbath. Now, I got just two pieces of advice based on what I've said. Number one, please, please do not start by thinking about what you won't do. All right? Start thinking about what you long to do. And don't try to do everything at once. Just something. Just something. Taste. See that the Lord is good in this. And then when you have a goal, just move aside whatever's in the way. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we want to learn from you. We yearn to learn love at your feet by looking up at you, seeing what love means. But the moment we leave this building, all manner of other things will clamor for our attention. Lord, give us the courage to grab the time we need and elbow out whatever else would get in the way. And even more than courage and determination, Father, I ask for a vision of what our lives might be like if we took the fourth commandment seriously. And I especially ask that you would encourage any of us who decide to try this week to discover something of the blessedness of this commandment. Hear us in his name. Amen.
Let's conclude our worship today by